Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Guys, we're in the house. We're in the house, right? Is this a good day or what? Are you glad to be in the house this morning? Yes. Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. Hey, we're not going to make it about the building this morning. We're going to make it about Jesus, the same way that we always would. I do want to say this about the building. God does not live in buildings. He lives in the hearts and the lives of those who have been born again through Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you, God is here not because of the building. God is here because he lives in born-again believers who are here, right? And so I want you to remember that as we go forward in everything with Lighthouse Community in our future. Now, when I very first met Jesus and came to faith later in my life, when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see my need for him, I saw my sin with amazing clarity, and it was just very simple, and I just said yes to him, and I began to walk with him, and I began to follow him, and let him change and transform my life. And then over the next couple of years, and I'm not sure when or how it happened, but I actually found, when I look back now, I actually found myself crossing over into a form of legalism, a form of rule-keeping, if you will. And so I started to really move away from the simplistic aspect of faith, and I now crossed over into, I was trying to like almost deal with God, right? Make bargains with him. And if I did this and he did that, and if I was a good boy, then he would, you know, bless me in different kinds of ways. And that began to develop even further into this like performance mode between me and the Lord, which then crossed over into these impossible standards that I would place for myself. And then not only that, but I would actually place them on other people, right? That if, you know, if you really loved God, then you would insert whatever my standard was for you. And I would expect you to meet those standards, even though I wasn't keeping them myself. It actually developed to a level of suspicion towards other Christians who didn't go to the church that I went to. I became very untrustworthy. What do they believe? What are they doing? What's all that kind of stuff? You know, oh, they're that denomination. I'm this denomination, which is clearly better because that's why I chose it. Right? All of that stuff. I started cutting ties with all of the spiritually dead people in my life, those who are lost in need of grace and truth of Jesus Christ. I removed them out. And probably the key thing was I knew more about what other people had to say about the Bible than what the Bible has to say about God. I could quote others quicker than I could quote scripture, right? That's what it looked like for me. And I'm wondering, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a season, those of you who have been born again, who've met Jesus, or maybe you've dialed into religion, right? And like, that's where you're at. I wonder if you've ever been there. I wonder if you're there maybe right now. Here's what I want to tell you. Walking with God is not meant to be a burden. Let me say that again. That's very important. Walking with God is not meant to be a burden. In fact, Jesus' own words in Matthew 11, he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And then he says this, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Walking with God is not designed to be a burden. Now, here's the question. So if you are there and walking with God is a burden, if you're there now, how do you get out? That's the question. How do I get out from underneath of that thing? How do I move on? The other question is, if I'm not there now, how do I stay out and run away from that as far as and as long as I possibly can? We're going to talk about that today. I'm going to ask you, if you brought a Bible, open up to Exodus chapter 33. That's in the Old Testament, second book of the Old Testament, chapter 33. While you're going there, I do want to welcome everybody to Lighthouse Community today. I'm really glad you're here. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. I want to welcome everybody in the house, but especially all of our guests who are with us. Thanks for joining us today. We're really glad you're with us on this very first day we're gathering. And then I do want to throw out a special welcome to another group of people. I'm wondering if you'll help me do that. Lighthouse Online, would you guys let Lighthouse Online know that we are glad you are with us today? If you're joining us in Hancock County or maybe somewhere else, man, we're really glad you're part of the family. And I hope if you're local, one day you'll be able to join us here really soon. So we're in this series called God Is, and we've just been looking at his character out of Exodus chapter 33, discovering who is he, and if that's who he is, then how do I respond to him? So before we go any further, let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for this day, not simply because we're in County Road 99 now, but this is a day that you've made. This is a day that you have ordained centuries in advance. That you would meet with people, you would invite those who belong to you into deeper levels of trust and reliance, and you're going to invite some others who have been looking for you or maybe even stiff-arming you, and today is going to be a day where perhaps the Holy Spirit is going to open their eyes to their need for you and to find freedom from sin, and we pray that those are things that might happen in this place today, but not exclusively here. We pray that it would go from this place throughout all of our county, bringing the hope of the gospel. Holy Spirit, bring clarity of understanding what the scriptures have to say. I'm thankful that from a plain reading, we can understand your character so well, and we ask that you would open our eyes and our spirits freshly again today, and we ask these things through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Exodus 33, we're gonna jump in here. I don't have a ton of time to build the backstory on this, so if you missed last week, I'd encourage you to jump online and pick that up there. But here's what's happening. Verse 7 says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." So there's a couple of things going on in here, but there's one thing I really want to focus in on this morning, and it's this, is that Moses had a unique relationship with God. Moses had a unique relationship with God. What made his relationship with God so unique? What made it so uncommon and different from others? Well, just in this account here, we see that anybody could go into that tent of meeting, right? And they could inquire of the Lord. But when Moses went in to that tent, something different would happen. The scripture says that the pillar of cloud would come down at the entrance of the tent. And that pillar of cloud was actually the physical representation of God's presence, okay? So the cloud is not God, but the pillar of cloud represents his presence in that place. And so when Moses would come in, that pillar of cloud would come and show up, but it didn't happen for anybody else that way. The other thing that made his relationship unique is that God spoke to Moses. And I love the words there, face to face. Can you imagine what that was like for Moses to be in the tent and to hear God speak to him face to face? And I love the language that's used there, that God spoke to Moses as a friend. God, think about that. God and Moses were friends. That's a really cool and powerful idea. And when I think about the fact that God and Moses were friends, I think about their history, right? Like God and Moses had history. Like they journeyed through big moments together. Think about this. When Moses was an infant, God rescued him from Pharaoh's decree to kill all of the Hebrew baby boys. God rescued him from that moment and actually raised him in Pharaoh's house. right? That's crazy to think about. And then later on, he meets Moses out in the wilderness through a burning bush, right? God is speaking to him, and God is like, take your shoes off. We don't wear shoes in the house, right? And so like he's talking to him and gives him all these instructions. He says, listen, you're going to be the one who frees Israel from slavery. And Moses is like, listen, God, I would, but I'm really busy with these sheep. Also, me no talk real good. So, he's like, and all this stuff. And God just works with him through all of that. Ends up using him in remarkable ways to free the nation of Israel from slavery out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, right? Bam! God parts the Red Sea so they can walk across on dry land. When Moses goes up to the mountain, God is talking to him. He gives Moses the law, right? Like, this is how you have a relationship with me. These are the standards. This is what it looks like. And it becomes clear, especially when you get to Exodus chapter 33 right here, and you see it all throughout, but it becomes clear that Moses loved God, but also God loved Moses. They were friends, man. These were friends. And I think, now what's really interesting about that, think about this. When Moses would go into the tent and the pillar of cloud would show up, everybody knew it, and they would stand at the entrance of their tent and watch it go on. And they watched from a distance, right? They didn't run into the tent with Moses. They stayed on the outside watching this very special and unique thing going on. Right? So Moses has this amazing friendship. The rest of Israel is on the outside of that thing, looking in on it. My guess is there's probably a level where they're longing to join in. They want to be a part of it, and at the same time, they're going, I don't know how he's coming out alive, right? Like, this is amazing. He's in God's presence. Here's what you need to know, something about the Old Testament. When you're reading the Old Testament, in general, right? The scriptures tell us this, that in general, the Old Testament is a shadow of the greater truth that is going to be revealed in Christ alone. It is a dimly lit picture pointing to the reality of Jesus. And so when you're reading things in the Old Testament, understand that they're actually pointing to fulfillment in Christ alone. This is just a shadow. It's a dimly lit picture. It's an inkling of what the reality is actually going to be like when Jesus shows up. And here's what this moment with Moses and God in the tent is pointing ahead to, right? This is a dimly lit picture of that which is true in Christ. And here's what it's pointing to. Right, Moses and God had a special friendship. Well, it's pointing to the reality that Jesus had the ultimate relationship with God. Jesus has the ultimate relationship with God, the ultimate friendship with God. And when what we're talking about is the Trinity, right? If this is a term you've heard before. And so the idea is that there's one God. God is three persons, and each person is fully God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And God has always existed eternally in community and in relationship with himself. The Father, Son, and the Spirit are in an eternal, loving relationship. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this. He said, as the Father has loved me. Right there. He's exposing the relationship between the Father and the Son. That the Father loves the Son. He says, the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And so Jesus is revealing, right? He's exposing. My relationship with the Father is one that's based on love, right? This is, we care for one another. We sacrifice for one another, right? This is a mutual relationship where we care deeply for each other. And so you see that. And so that was before Jesus even showed up on the earth. But it's clear, right? It's clear that Jesus was with God always. Right? He didn't show up later. Think about this. John chapter 1, verse 1 says it this way. In the beginning, before all time, right? Before creation, before the beginning of the universe, anything along those lines. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word. Now, the Word there is not referring to the Bible. The Word is referring to Christ. So I appreciate the Amplified putting that in the parentheses. So in the beginning was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. So you have to understand that Jesus has always been with the Father. This is a tight-knit relationship of love. And Jesus, right, this is this exclusive relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And he loves being with the Father. Think about this. He was with God before his earthly ministry, comes on earth, lives a perfect life, then he's killed for that perfect life, for our sin in our place. He resurrects from the dead. After his resurrection, where does Jesus go? He ascends. Where does he ascend to? I'll tell you. He actually told us, John chapter 16, verse 28. He goes, listen, I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I'm leaving the world, and I'm going back to the Father. Why? Because he loves him. Because the Father loves the Son loves the Father, the Son loves the Spirit loves the Spirit loves the Father loves the Spirit. Right? Oh, this is this unique, amazing relationship that's going on in here. And so this moment with Moses in the tent is actually pointing to the relationship between Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, this very, very unique, ultimate friendship. Now, why did I share all of that? Because some of you guys are going, okay, that's good. What does that have to do with me? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you right now. What it has to do with you is this, is that the Bible tells us that friendship with God is the goal for everyone. Let me say that again, because for some of you, you've never heard that before, and it's kind of rattling around in your brain bucket, and you're trying to grab a hold of that thing. The Bible tells us that friendship with God is the goal for every one of us. How do I know that? Well, there's a passage in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, that says this. Actually, let's read this out loud together, all right, starting with, I will be their God. Are you ready? Go. I will be their God, and they will be my children. That phrase is used again and again and again throughout all of the scriptures, where God is constantly saying, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. You find it in Genesis, you find it in Jeremiah, you find it in Isaiah, you find it in Revelation, you find it in all places throughout the scripture. God says, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, they will be my children. God desires friendship with you. That's the goal. That's the plan. In fact, before Jesus was crucified and resurrected and went back to the Father, in John chapter 15, he says this, you are my friends. He says, you're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Friendship with God is the goal for every one of us. Many of us have never heard that thought before. We actually didn't know that that was the goal, is to be friends with God. And so what ends up happening, when you don't understand that, too many people end up approaching God like a subject to be mastered. Let me learn all of the facts, all of the details, all of the things about God, and then so that I can win in Bible trivia whenever we play that game, and I'll impress all of my friends in small group with all of my biblical knowledge that I've mastered about God. And so you approach God like he's a subject to be mastered, or right, just right alongside of that, you view God as a vending machine who just spits out treats for you when you need them, right? Oh, Lord, there's too much month at the end of the money. B6, can you send down some, you know, send down a little cash? I think I heard if I give you money, you give me more. Let me get on that train, right? And so he's either the subject to be mastered or a vending machine where you're looking for spiritual biscuits to pop out. And that's not who God is. That's not how the scriptures define him. Friendship with God is the goal for every one of us. When I was a kid, we moved around a lot. From when I was 3 till I was like 10. Lots of states, lots of cities within those states. It was so much, sometimes I would start a school in the fall, and by the time we got to January, I was in another school. by that. I mean, we moved a ton. So it was challenging. It was difficult. But one of the things that I figured out how to do, when you move around like that all the time, you're always the new kid. And you're always having to make new friends. And so in the process, I started to learn how to make friends quickly as a young person. And here, there's a little trick. There's a technique if you're wanting to build friendships with new people. And it works whether you're 6. It works even if you're 30 whatever, 50 whatever, and you're looking to build new friendships. Would you like to know the tip and the technique on how to build new friends with other people? I can tell you. There's a small charge. No, just kidding. I just paid on your way out. Here's the tip. Spend less time talking about yourself and more time asking questions about them. That's the trick. That's it. Spend less time talking about you and spend more time asking questions about them. I'm a people watcher in general, so if I'm at the gym or we're out having lunch or something along those lines, I will eavesdrop. I know, but it's not a sin, right? But I'll listen. It's not in public. It could be on camera if I wanted. But I'm amazed that conversations will happen. There's one, it's like, there was two guys talking, and he's just like, you know, man, we had hamburgers last night, and they were good. And the other guy was like, well, I don't really like hamburgers. And he goes, man, my wife must have done something different. She sprinkled on there and did it on the grill, and it was so good. And he goes like, yeah, last time I had hamburgers, they weren't cooked all the way through, and it really messed it up, and it ruined hamburgers for me in general. And he's like, the other guy's like, yeah, so I'm saying we need to have hamburgers like at least once a week if we can. And the other guy goes, you know, my wife makes good chicken. I'm watching this thing go on. They're having two separate conversations in the presence of one another. They're just saying statements that actually aren't even really that connected. They're just talking about themselves the whole time. And I thought, these guys are probably friends. Right? They would say, oh, we're good friends. I talk about hamburgers, he talks about how he hates them, and then somehow we make our way to chicken. Right? And then we go on from there. The way you build friends is not simply talking about yourself, but it's actually asking questions and learning about them and who they are. And so if you want to build a friendship with God, you need to spend time finding out who he is. Discover who he is. Here's a question. Those of you guys who maybe have read the Bible before, and just respond however you want. We'll do some audience participation. This is scary. I don't recommend this. You try it at home. But from what you've read in Scripture, let me ask you this. How well does God know you? Oh, better than I know myself. Yeah. Completely. You know what Scripture says? He knows how many hairs are on your head. Do you? Some of you do, but you're right. But not everybody, right? Listen, God knows you. I love what somebody said over there. God knows you better than you know yourself. So here's my question. Do you think when you're with God, you should spend more time talking about yourself or maybe less time talking about yourself, and maybe flip that over to more time discovering who God is? How well? Here's the flip of that question. How well do you know God? Do you know how many hairs are on his head? Does he have a head? You see what I'm saying? So a lot of times, I'm coming to God, and I'm just sharing everything about me. Perhaps that's part of the problem of why I feel distant with the Lord. Perhaps if I'm going to grow in my friendship with him, I actually should spend more time asking God questions about him, discovering his character. What is he like? What does he love? What bothers him? Right? All those different types of things. And so I want to encourage you, man, read the Scriptures. This is how God has revealed himself with overwhelming clarity. Read the Scriptures. And when you read the Scriptures, can I encourage you to just go at the Scriptures with one question? One question. What does this reveal to me about who God is? Don't look for the life hack. Don't look for the guilty thing you're not doing that you should be doing, but you're not doing, and so then you feel bad and remorseful when you walk away. We're not talking about that. Read the scriptures and ask the question, what does this reveal to me about who God is? And live there for a little bit. In fact, that's a next step on the back of your connection card. And so if you pull that out and you get that blue card, you flip it over, take a look at that thing, that's one of the next steps. And so you might say, you know what? I'm going to start reading the scriptures and I'm just going to discover who God is. Because the more I know who God is, the more I'm going to build that friendship with him. I'm going to hear his voice, right? And so that might be a next step that you want to take today. But that's how you build friendships. Now, and I know for some of you, you're going, friendship with God, that sounds intimidating. I don't do friendships well anyways. And now you're telling me that I'm going to become friends with the ultimate creator and sustainer, the sovereign king over all of the universe? And the question is this, how will I know that he'll accept me? How do I know that he will be friends with me? Yeah, I want to be friends with him, but how do I know that he wants to be friends with me? Right? Because there's a level where we have ruined our relationship with God through sin, right? Let's just be transparent for a second, right? We're very self-centered at the core of who we are. I like what I like. I want to do what I want. I want to say what I want. Right? That's at the core of every single one of us. We have this deep desire to do what we want to do, and that's it. And that sin, right, whether it manifests itself through like lying or cheating or abusing people or taking advantage of others, right, that's the core of that thing is I just want to do whatever I want to do. And that always breaks our relationship with God, and there's an issue in that, right? And so the question is, if I've hurt God with my sin, how do I know that God would accept me? How do I know that he would forgive me and we can have a friendship? I'll tell you how you can know that God has forgiven you. It's through his words, and it's through his actions. How can you know that God has forgiven you? Well, here's something that God has said in, right? These are his words in the scriptures. Ephesians 4:32, he says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. How do you know that God has forgiven you? He told you. He told you. It's all throughout the scriptures, right? That there's forgiveness for you in Christ and through Christ alone. There's no other way, by the way. It's only by trusting in Jesus Christ. But how do I know God's forgiven me? Because he told me so. And if his words tell me, then I can trust that. But some of you are going, well, I've had some people tell me something, but then their actions tell me something different. Okay, well, let's look at God's actions. Let's do that. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says this. This is Paul writing. He says, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You don't believe his words? Look at his actions. His words and his actions line up. Christ didn't just die because he didn't have anything better to do on a Friday. Right? Christ died. He took the payment for your sin and for my sin so that you and I could be offered forgiveness and brought into a friendship with God. And here's what I want to tell you. God forgives you and God accepts you as you are. But some of you knew that was coming. And in fact, you were waiting for it. God accepts you as you are. That is true. And he never leaves you where he found you. And praise God that he doesn't. Let me say that again. God always accepts you just as you are, and he never leaves you where he found you. He invites you out of sin. He invites you out of selfishness. He invites you out of darkness into life. And so the work, sometimes it's just resist. It's just letting the Spirit transform my mind and all of that to go, these ways that I thought were okay, and it seems like the world is good with it, actually, when I read the scripture, it's so far away from who God is. And so actually the Holy Spirit will transform me forward into the likeness of Christ. And so walking with God, friendship with God, part of that is continually and increasingly rejecting sin as you embrace living in the character of Christ, right? That's what friendship with God looks like. And the only way you get there is through faith in Jesus Christ. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't show up to church enough. You can't volunteer enough. None of that. The only way you get friendship with God is by putting all of your weight and all of your faith in the life, in the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Until then, you're always on the outside watching other people enjoy a relationship with God while you stand at the entrance of your tent watching them enjoy being with the Lord. But you don't have to stand at your tent. God welcomes you in through Jesus Christ. And listen, when you become friends with God, what happens is this, is God will begin to speak to you. And he'll speak to you like a friend, because that's the goal, is friendship with God. The other thing, here's the other cool thing. When you're friends with God, you don't need a tent. You don't need a prayer closet. You don't even need a war room. Why? Because when you belong to Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you. And I can talk with God anytime, anywhere. I don't have to go to a tent. I don't have to go to a building. I don't have to go to a closet. I don't have to go to a room, because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. And that makes God approachable. What I love about, there's a passage in Hebrews chapter 4 that says this. It says, basically, because of all that Christ has done, because of all that he's accomplished. And actually, let's do this. Let's read this passage out loud together. Sorry, with let us. Are you ready? Go. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us approach God boldly. That's what happens when you're friends with Christ. When you're friends with God through Jesus Christ, it's amazing, right? So I'd shared with you that at one point I had kind of fallen into legalism in my journey. And so the question then becomes, okay, how do I get out? How do I get out of legalism? Like, do you just stay there? Do you outgrow it? What do you do, right? But how did I leave legalism? How did I step out of being a tryhard for God? I will tell you how it was, and I'm not even kidding you. I was in my office, and I was reading my Bible one day, and I happened to be in Ephesians, and I was just literally reading through Ephesians, just 'cause. And I got to Ephesians chapter 2, and I came across verse 8. And this is what it says: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast." And I had read that verse, and I'd read it probably dozens of times before that day. And yet that day when I read that verse, my eyes were opened, and I went, this has way less to do with me than I ever thought it had to do with me. And I was, listen, guys, I was so dialed into legalism and trying hard and being a good boy. I remember as soon as I realized that I was saved not by anything that I did, but it was all by Jesus' work. When I realized that, I slammed my Bible closed because I was like, the people in my church can't know that I believe this. They'll kick me out, right? And it was almost like scandalous, right? But I couldn't stop the fact that God was warming my heart to the reality that this was way less about me, and it was way more about him and the transforming work that he was doing in my life. And it began to change me day by day, week by week, month by month, right? until God began to literally set me free from these impossible standards that I had for myself and for others, right? All of this judgment, all of this condemnation that I had for other people, right? All of these things. And the Holy Spirit opened my eyes that I was not saved because I was a good boy, but I was saved because of Jesus' life, perfect life in my place. I was saved because of Jesus' perfect death in my place. I was saved because of Jesus' perfect resurrection in my place. And that day, I dared to believe it. And it's been changing my life every day for the last 15 years, right? It's amazing. It's amazing to think about what God has done. You are created for a friendship with God. It's what you're made for. And through Christ, you're invited in. You don't have to be on the outside watching. You can actually be on the inside with the Father, with the Son, with the Spirit, with the rest of those who are genuinely born again through faith in Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. Each weekend, we ask the same question as we close the teaching, and it's simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him. God, we praise you that we are not saved because of our record or our ability to be better people. We're saved by the glorious work of the Son, who is empowered by the Spirit and sent by the Father. Thank you. God, I can't help but sense that there are people in the room right now, people who can hear the sound of my voice, that they're living either in a form of legalism or this try hard, do goodism, be a better person, and maybe God will accept me. In fact, maybe some are here today going, I'm gonna be there the first Sunday that church opens in their new building, and I'm never going to miss another Sunday, and then I'll know that I'm a good person, and God will welcome me into heaven. I pray by the power of the Spirit, you would crush that idea to smithereens, that you would blow up any thought that somehow we could do enough good things to put you in our debt that would require you to act on our behalf. I pray that you crush that right now and you wipe that out in the name of Jesus. And I also ask that the Spirit would open the eyes of all of us, myself included, to see you freshly as the grace giver, as the one who gives the law to show that we can't keep it, the one who keeps the law because we can't keep it, and invites us to ride on your coattails for the rest of eternity, and that there's joy in that and there's freedom in that. I pray that you would bring us to that reality, and that truth would begin to transform our lives. We would begin to identify sin in our lives and throw that down, run away from it, reject it for the pitch and the dirt that it is, and just cling to your hand and never, never let go. Teach us what it looks like to be friends with you. One of the ministries I love at Lighthouse Community is our prayer ministry. And so if you've never been to Lighthouse before, let me tell you what's going to happen. The band's going to come up, and they're going to lead us in just one more song. And during that song, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available in the two front corners of the room. And then they'll also be back in front of the sound booth, kind of the corners of the sound booth as well. I'm going to ask those prayer leaders if they'd head to those locations now so people know that you're ready. And then I think, too, they're wearing gray lanyards. So that's how you can know that's a prayer person as opposed to someone who might be just holding up a wall. But they might pray with you too, so that's okay. But what's going to happen, the band's going to lead in one more song, and then during the song, you can just head to one of those corners and just say, hey, my name's Fritz. Would you pray for me about this thing? And they will, and it's awesome. and it's amazing. And a lot of Sundays, I'm up there asking somebody to pray with me. And so you don't ever have to feel embarrassed. You don't have to feel ashamed to want prayer. All of us need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. And you don't have to be a member either, right? You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to receive prayer, because all of us need prayer, and it's okay. So here's what I'm going to do. If you're in the house this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand together, because we're going to transition into a time of singing while we pray. And I'm going to pray for you and then invite you to come forward as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We would absolutely love to pray with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.